It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill. It is Phone Friday, my friends, and we got a lot to talk about today, right? We've got so much to talk about. We need to talk a little bit about what's going on in the sprint car world. What is it going to mean with Brad Sweet, Kyle Larson getting into the game? We'll talk a little bit about the race that Kirk and I went to last night, where Hudson O'Neill picks up the win at I-70 Motorsports Park. I almost said Speedway, Kirk. And the big news, I think, last night at I-70 was Brandon Shepherd had that thing wrapped up, and he blew up there with two laps to go. Brent Marks, he picks up the historical big one at Eldora last night. Bobby Pierce wins Hell Tour at Shady Hill. And we got plenty to talk about today. Kirk, how you doing? Did you have a good time at I-70 last night?
Yeah, I always have a good time when I go at the racetrack. Yeah, it was fun being out there last night. You know, that's they've done a great job with that facility out there, and it's a first-rate facility. There's no doubt about it.
Well, there's no doubt that it is. It's a great facility, but you know, Kirk, me and you were talking a little bit last night, and I thought the late model race was excellent last night. Did you?
Yeah, much better than the heat races. Start off a little bit narrow. The heat races got spread out, but it widened out for the A main last night. And but once Brandon Shepherd got out front, I thought that was it. It was over.
Well, Jimmy Owens led there for a bit. I thought maybe he might end up winning the race there for a little bit. But then on that restart, B-Shep, he just went around him and passed him and then checked out after that at that point. So
he did.
But it was pretty bad for B-Shep to blow up that motor with two laps to go, because he had the field covered, didn't he?
He did. And, you know, you talk to everybody down there. Right. I talked to several people in the pit area after it was over with. Everybody got hot. The temperature was up there because
not lifting.
They weren't lifting. Right. And it was a fast racetrack, and everybody was getting hot. Yeah. And Brandon Shepherd's engine didn't make it to the end. And that's big issue.
Austin, when you raced out there at I-70, did your motors run hot, a little bit hotter than normal because you were flat-footing it around there, or was that the case with the sprint cars?
Mine didn't run hot, but a lot of other teams did. I don't know what the air was like there last night, but right. I know the air that we had when we raced, you know, on June 25th was, as the night, you know, went on, the air got better for us, and it changed right before the feature rolled out. So a lot of the cars were still pretty lean before the feature, and combination of big track, lean, and then just a warmer, you know, overall air temp,
right,
you know, caused them to run 260, 250.
What did you run when you were out?
I ran 220.
Where you should be.
Yeah, mine runs 220 all the time. Doesn't matter if I'm at a big track or a small track. It's just...
Was it the same up at Knoxville?
Yeah, it ran 220 up there too. Wow. 220 at I-80, and I was running it harder at I-80 than I had at Knoxville the next night. And I would say I ran harder at I-70, but I mean, yeah, that's three straight nights on big half miles, and it ran cool.
Did you see what Marie said? She said, "Happy Friday, go Austin." Did you see that?
I did not. My comments aren't working on my stream.
Well, they're not. Oh, okay. But anyway, can we have a little discussion here about the racetrack at I-70 Speedway? Because I don't want anybody to think that I'm being negative about anything right here. But did I-70 Speedway need to be made smaller? Because when I look at that racetrack, and again, the race was excellent last night. I'm not taking anything away from it. But when I see the sprint cars out there, they roll into turn three, they come in high, and they cut the bottom, and they run just barely off the bottom of the racetrack exiting turn four. Is anybody like me that thinks that the racetrack should have been made smaller?
Yes. The straightaways are too long. and I would have built a smaller racetrack at I-70. I thought that's what they were going to do.
Yeah.
When they took out the half-mile paved track. This track looks bigger than the old paved track.
It does to me.
It looks bigger.
It does. Austin, what do you think about that? Do you think it should have been made smaller?
I'm going to say no, just because we don't have...
Not enough half miles.
There's no half miles left, and we're all trying to kill.
And you're a half mile expert.
I don't want to. Don't call me. I don't. I'm not a half mile expert.
You're pretty good.
I got lucky.
You're good on the half miles.
No, it's just we're all. Everybody in the, I don't say everybody, but the majority in the Kansas City area are all trying to kill half mile racing. Mm-hmm. We're all trying. I mean, Lakeside's not a true half, but it's close to it.
Four tenths.
And they're all trying to kill it. And we're just going to oversaturate the community with short track racing. We got a quarter mile or we got a 3/8 mile. It's all the same. And we need something out of normal. We don't have Sedalia anymore.
Right.
And Lakeside's the last one. So we need something big, but you know, big tracks can work sometimes if they're done right. I don't know if it's just because I-70 is too wide. Or the type of dirt that they have on it. But if you ever notice that every race they've had there, the cushion has been right in the middle of the track.
Right.
So I don't know, and it doesn't have a lot of slick spots to it. So I don't know if it's a type of dirt that they're having an issue with, that it's too wide, or if it's the banking that's the problem.
Again, I don't want to take anything away from the racing that we saw last night, because to be honest with you, that was as wide as I've ever seen that track race before with the late models.
Yeah, it turned out just fine for the A-Main.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm with you, Scott. I know that we like different kinds of racetracks. And, hey, I used to work at a place that's got a half-mile racetrack up in Corning, Iowa. I love half-mile racetracks.
Right.
But the problem is the expense of racing now is a lot. And it costs a lot more money to race these big racetracks than it does the shorter 3/8 mile tracks.
Austin, do you have a rebuttal on that right there about the expense of racing on the big tracks?
So, I mean, it's expensive no matter where you race, all right? So,
right, that's true.
I'll use this as an example. I mean, I went to Knoxville Saturday.
Right.
And we ran, it was an 18, I ran 45 laps. Never turned it over, $8,000. So I mean, it wasn't like we were killing the motor. I mean, it has some hard laps on it, but not a lot.
Right.
I'm turning it at 87, you know, 86 at a quarter mile. So you're on the, you could say that you're having more wear on the motor. Okay, fine. But
because you're
still
sustaining the RPMs longer.
Right.
Right.
But also too, I mean, we're turning it harder on a short track. But if it's on equipment, you're not. You don't see a whole lot of cars get tore up on half miles unless something breaks or
right.
just bad luck. You race on a quarter mile, you're stuck in a hole or a bowl with 20 other cars, and you usually get tore up more often. So, and that costs money, right? So
you'd rather take the motor bill than the bolt-on part bill, is what you're saying.
I mean, I don't want to fix anything, right?
Right.
But
no, I get that, right?
I mean, you're gonna get it's expensive to race anywhere you race or anywhere you want to go race. It's expensive on half miles, expensive on quarter miles. I mean, half miles you're fixing motors, quarter miles you're fixing parts.
Right.
And it's all going up, and it's all gonna, you know, cost you thousands of dollars no matter what you do, right? I mean, I don't.
Well, my biggest issue is not so much the expense. It's not coming out of my pocket. I don't own the race car. But I think we'd see better racing on a smaller racetrack. That's the biggest thing from a fan standpoint.
You know, I
just think we'd see overall better racing.
I kind of get where Austin's coming from, because half miles are dying on the vine right now, right?
Yeah.
They are. I mean, you just look at Sedalia. When was the last time they had a race at Sedalia? Did they have one there last year?
They run the fair race every year, so that's one race a year. But, I mean, Sedalia used to be a staple in weekly racing around here.
Right.
I remember when Lakeside flooded in 2011, that's where Dad raced weekly with Sedalia, and they had 24, 30 A-mods every night.
Right. Well, that's not happening anymore.
No.
A-mods are dead.
But, I mean, you know, that was the biggest class along with late models they had down there. So, I mean, I don't know what's, you know, what's changed in the last 10 years, what the mindset's done, or, you know, what's, how the way, you know, racing's changed around here, but it's, I mean, it's just, it's dying.
Let me just say this. You know what I think they should have done a little bit more at I-70 Speedway? Bowl up the ends a little bit more. Put a little more banking in them.
Yeah.
You guys agree with that or disagree with that?
Make
Austin?
The transitions from the straightaways into the turns.
Well,
maybe
I'm just
a little
saying
bit
they
more.
Need to put more banking into it. What are your thoughts on that, Austin? You got any feelings on that? Do you think a little more banking would have helped a little bit?
Well, I'm watching the high or the race,
right?
And you just saw, I can't think, it was, might have been Jimmy Owens was running the bottom, or Hudson was on the bottom, and Brandon Shepherd drove around them all on the top, and all he was able to do was enter up on the cushion at three and drive across the track and use the banking as
right.
as momentum. So, in theory, you could take the banking, you know, a couple degrees of banking off the top, and
right.
and drop that level down to where it's slightly elevated compared to the bottom, but the bottom still has a chance, and maybe you can, I don't know. I mean,
if you had the top a little more bowled up, maybe those guys could make a big run around there, and some of the guys could still creep around on the bottom. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, I mean, we just got to, I don't know how you could, I don't know if banking would be the way to fix. I'm not sure what you could do, but yeah, we got it. It's all just right through the middle.
And it wasn't
dominant.
As if they were riding around the bottom line. I mean, it was pretty much top dominant in that eight main last
night.
It
was. It really was. And again, this is no disrespect to I-70 Motorsports Park, because it is a fantastic facility.
Yeah, it's a first-rate facility.
It is absolutely a first-rate facility. And I'm not taking anything away from it. I just think that maybe if they put a little more banking
in
on the ends.
I thought
it
was going to be smaller than it turned out to be, because when they took the half-mile paved track out, we were led to believe they were going to make it a shorter 3/8-mile type racetrack. But it turned out to be way bigger than you and I thought it would be.
Is it too fast? I'm asking both of you. Austin, let's start with you. Do you think it's too fast? No. You don't think so, do you?
I mean, it's one of the fastest tracks I've ever been on. I'll give it that, but
did it seem faster than Knoxville?
Yes, it did.
It did.
Now that's saying something right there.
Wow.
And you know what you're talking about, and you've been on both racetracks
right,
here recently.
Exactly.
So
you didn't have the G-forces at Knoxville that you did here at I-70 with all the banking.
Wow.
Like, I was about to get sucked through my seat, I felt like,
really?
During the feature. Knoxville, I mean, I had full control over where I put my body at my seat.
Right.
I-70, I was sucked down to my seat and just holding on, just stabbing and steering wherever I went.
Well, the chat room's a little quiet today.
Knoxville's got wider turns, the straightaways. It seems like this track's got longer straightaways and a little bit tighter getting into the corners in Knoxville.
Did it seem like it narrowed up coming up off of turn four like it used to, the old I-70 Speedway? Did it feel like it?
It gets really narrow, especially if – so it's – the track looks pretty close to what it felt like it was at the ASCS show, and you could run above the slick coming off of four and carry a ton of momentum and get runs on guys. It does get really tight, because like I said, if you stick it up above the slick, you get a good run, and it always carries you out right to the wall. And there was times where I caught lap cars that were kind of like hung up in the middle going nowhere, and I was forced to split the difference between him and the wall. And it definitely got tight.
Huh. Well, again, Chris Payne has done a fantastic job with that facility.
Yeah. I mean, he's invested a lot of money out there. I don't know what's going to happen with the drag strip, if that's going to be
I hope it opens up
soon.
It's funny. I took my car and I drove over there and took a look at it. And they've got the dirt work done. It's nice and flat. It looks like it's ready to start doing the construction part of the drag strip, but they haven't just started on. And again, this could be from materials. The company that they're partnered up with, we're doing the dirt work, might not be able to come in there and get the dirt work done right away. I don't know. But hopefully that drag strip will open up someday.
Yeah. I would have liked to have seen a support class go along with
Me
the
too.
Premier Division last night. I was afraid of the car count based on who I talked to at Stewart.
Would they end up 24 or
24,
five?
24 cars.
Yeah.
Ended up in the show last night. Not about based on who I talked to earlier in the week, that's what I thought was going to show up. So I think if they'd added a modified class to it, I think that would have filled out the show a lot better. But, hey, I enjoyed myself out there. Looking forward to the All-Stars coming up there a week from next Thursday, Friday. It'll be the 28th and 29th, Thursday, Friday night for the All-Star Sprints.
And they're going to run tonight. They're going to be at Tri-City, right?
Yes.
And then on Saturday, Lucas Oil Speedway.
Diamond Nationals.
And then on Sunday.
They're going to be at Moberly.
Moberly. MLRA is at Moberly,
Reed
right?
Millard's new track.
Yeah, right.
That'll be the MLRA
We need to get
Reed series.
On.
Yeah. I'll try to hook up with him today. Maybe we can get him on tomorrow morning. So, but anyway, I got some sound from the winner last
All
night
right,
if
let's
you want
hear
to hear
it.
That.
Yeah. Set it up, Kurt.
Hudson O'Neill was the recipient of the lead when Brandon Shepard's engine blew up coming down for the white flag lap. And I spoke with Hudson O'Neill after the races about his victory last night.
Boy, surprise, surprise, coming down for the white flag. All of a sudden, you're out in front. What'd you think?
Yeah, you know, you hate to win one like that, but we were on the recipient end of it. You know, it's saying you'd rather be lucky than good, it played into a factor tonight. So we needed it, man. We're starting to get a good program going, I feel like, to be able to propel us here at the end of the year.
Seems like everybody's car was getting hot tonight. How worried were you when you went out to start this race?
Yeah, it's just the place is big, fast. It didn't really slow down a whole lot, and it's hot. There's just a lot of things, you know. We knew coming into today that we were probably going to have some issues, and you know, you've seen it take a couple motors, so you hate it, but it's just part of racing at these big racetracks sometimes. We'll assess. Hopefully we don't have no motor issues, and we'll walk out of here with 10 grand.
Looked like the track widened out quite a bit as the night went on.
Yeah. No, it was it ended up being a pretty good racetrack. You know, if you really needed to, you could move around, get by some of them lap cars and everything. And it's just a big place. I'm sure we'll have a race back here next year. So
this is a unique racetrack. Can you compare it to any place you've been?
Not really. It's a kind of like a D shape. It's got a dog leg back straightaway. So it was kind of tricky. It took you a few laps to get kind of used to it. But it turned out to be a pretty good racetrack.
Well, you got some big races coming up. Tri-City on Friday night, Saturday night, Lucas Oil, and next week a huge week.
Yeah. It's gonna be It's going to be a long couple weeks here, but it's going to be a lot of money up for grabs, so we're ready for it.
You think about points or anything like that this time of the year?
Well, you most definitely do, but we got ourselves kind of in a hole, so we're behind a little bit. So right now, all we're worried about is just trying to win races. We're not worried about points or anything else. We're a little bit behind, so a miracle would have to happen for us to contend for a championship. So we're just going to do our best we can, try and win some races here. We got to catch up for all the bad runs we've had earlier in the year, but we're off to a good start. So
Tri-City Speedway, racy racetrack.
Yeah, I've been there. I've ran pretty good there in the past. Ran good and bad there, so we'll see what we got.
And then Lucas Oil Speedway, you won the Show Me a year ago. That's a track that's treated you pretty well, too.
Yeah, I'm excited to go back there. We had a good run, like you said. We won the Show Me there last year and had a good run to Show Me again this year. So I think we got a shot.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
All right, there you have it. That's Kirk Elliott doing an interview with Hudson O'Neill last night after he picked up the win. B. Shep should have been the winner last night, but unfortunately for him, his motor blew up, expired with two laps to go.
It was kind of interesting.
How would you grade that race out, Kurt?
C plus, B, somewhere in there.
A B?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. What do you grade it?
It was
okay.
I'm going to say that was the best race I've seen there so far. And I'm going to give it a B plus.
Okay.
B plus. And I say that because they really went out, you know, when they went out and reworked the track during that downtime, because MAV TV was going live at 9:30, right?
So they had about a half hour down before they
came
back at 9:30.
And I watched Tommy go out there and work that racetrack.
Yeah.
And he kept working the top. And I kept thinking to myself, well, nobody's going to go up there and use that.
But they did.
They did. So Tommy did a hell of a job last night.
He did. Yeah. He did a good job of making that track for a good race for the A main. So, I enjoyed myself out there last night.
Yeah, well, I did too. Tonight, we're going to be going up to US 36 Raceway up
looking
in Osborne, Missouri. We're going to watch the Lucas Oil ASCS National Sprint Car Tour run up there. It's always a good show.
Be my first trip up there this year. How about you? We've been meaning to get up there two or three times this year, but rained out big events early in the year.
Didn't I go up there earlier this year?
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think I did.
The World of Outlaws got rained out. The USAC Sprints got rained out. The first time the Lucas Oil ASCS Tour was supposed to be here.
Right.
That didn't happen. I really feel for John Boulder, the promoter up there. Had all these big events early in the year, rained out. Finally, we get a good night, and we're going to have a big event up there tonight. I'm looking forward to
it. Me too. I'm looking forward to it. You know what I'm looking forward to more than anything? Watching our boy over here race tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
I'm looking forward to that.
I think he'll do well.
Austin, you ready? You ready to go?
Yeah, I got a little bit of work to do when I get home, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
You just
got to
get the car in the trailer, don't you?
Yeah, that's the only thing I really got to do. But yeah, I mean, it's a track that we haven't had the most success at. But
what's your best finish up there?
Like 15th.
Oh,
it was in 2020. We actually finished that night, the only time we finished up finished a race up there, but we've had good speed up there every time we've been, so it's just about trying to put it all together, and I think from our good Reno runs here the past month, I think we can finally, hit something and get a good night.
Do you think that where you might need a little more practice is qualifying? Is that what you think you might need? A little more practice at that?
Yeah. I mean, I don't.
Tonight, I mean, I'm being fair, right?
I said it the first time I did it, and I said I needed to do it more often. But, yeah, I think this is probably my sixth time qualifying a sprint car, and it's not nothing. You just – I don't know. It's different. It's just different. You just it's a different type of task at hand. And, sometimes I've done good at it a couple of times, and I've sucked the rest. So it's just I'm either really good or I suck. So – but I think going to a quarter mile tonight, we might be having an advantage on some people. So we'll just see how it goes.
You know, qualifying is a state of mind.
No, it is.
It is. And the person that can throw caution to the wind, every time I was a fast qualifier, I excelled in qualifying, and every time that I went out there and I had a good qualifying lap, I'd come in and I would say, that sucked. Because you got to feel so far out on the edge that you almost feel out of control, right? You got to throw caution to the wind and just take a mindset that when you're going to qualify, you got to give it everything that you're going to give it. And you've got to get out so close to that edge to where you're busting your ass, right? That it when you come in, you feel like you didn't cut a good lap. And every time I came in and I said that, I would say, man, that sucked. Well, you're a fast qualifier, or you're second fast, or third fast, or whatever it was. It's just a state of mind.
Now, I want to ask both you guys. You guys both driven, qualified these cars. Do you feel the most pressure you feel the whole night for qualifying more than anything else you do the whole night?
Not me.
What about you, Austin?
I mean, you could say yes because it determines how the rest of your night looks.
Yeah.
Right.
I qualified 27th in Knoxville, and I buried myself in a hole that I somehow managed to climb out of.
You did. You did a great job.
But most people wouldn't have.
Right.
You have to. It's a different type of moment. You have a lot of pressure to put yourself in a decent spot, but you also got to be on the edge of out of control, but smooth, so you don't scrub off too much speed.
But you can also feel pressure too if you do get a great qualifying run and you start up towards the front of the eight main. That's a different kind of pressure, is it not?
I me personally, I didn't handle the pressure of leading a race as well as I did qualifying. I always, whenever I qualified, I always felt like I was confident going into qualifying. You know, Kirk, my first race at Kansas Speedway, there was 50-some cars there.
I remember that.
And I qualified 11th out of those 50-some cars, and that was my first ARCA race, first intermediate racetrack, mile-and-a-half racetrack. And, you know, I told myself before I went out there and ran that lap, give it everything you've got to give. And you just got to, again, it's just a mindset. It's just all in how you approach it mentally. If you feel confident about qualifying, you're going to be a good qualifier.
But it's such a big deal. And, Austin, you were up at Knoxville. That is really a big deal, up there.
That's big pressure.
Because how they add those points in and all that.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. All right, well, let's take a break. And when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about what's going on with Kyle Larson and Brad Sweet with this new Sprint Car Series. Let's get into that a little bit deeper. We haven't really dived off into that as much as we should have this week, so we're going to do that when we come back. It's Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We'll be back with more in a moment. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Sure, especially sportswear in-house. We do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must-play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
Three nine-hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill, Kirk Elliott sitting in. It's Phone Friday. I don't think I've ever seen the chat room this quiet before. Normally, there's 40 or 50 messages by now. I don't get it. Marie is the only one that's got on there and spoke today, and I'm a little set back by that. We got a great number of people listening today. I want to talk a little bit about last night, what happened at Eldora, before we get into our conversation about Kyle Larson and Brad Sweet starting a new sprint car series. What'd you guys think of that race last night? To be honest with you, towards the end of that race, when Brent Marks and Tyler Courtney started racing each other, that was some pretty good stuff right there. What'd you guys think?
Excellent racing last night. I don't know how much better you could ask out of Eldora Speedway for that feature event last night. Good stuff.
Right. Austin, your thoughts on it?
I think probably the best part, I mean, Brent Marks and Sunshine going at it was pretty good, but I think Rico's battle with Sunshine was probably the best.
It was. That was some pretty good stuff.
I didn't, when I was sitting there watching it with some buddies, I didn't expect Rico to be that big of a threat. And when Rico fired off and drove right up to the top two, right, top three, I'm like, all right, Rico, you might have a shot here.
Didn't he lead a lap or two?
Yeah, he led a couple on the sliders and when he was sliding Sunshine. And I think if his stuff could have, you know, stayed fired all night, all race long, it didn't kind of die off, you know, about midpoint or so of the race, I think he might have been able to walk away with it. He was definitely kind of like the underdog I was kind of pulling for.
Right. All right. There's the phone if you want to grab it real quick. And we'll take phone calls, 816-833-8553, if you want to give us a call. I think the biggest story, listen, Brent Marks started 14th and won that race. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Right? But how about Logan Schuchart? The 1S car started 21st and made it up to 5th. What do you guys think about that?
He did make a good run up there, but so did Brian Brown, who had to come out of the
19th.
B main.
Yeah.
And he made an excellent run starting in 19th to finish in 6th place. I thought he had a great run last night.
And Carson Macedo started 17th, and he ran 8th.
Yeah.
So a lot of guys working their way up through the field.
Sheldon Hodenshield, another driver. He was in the top 10 there for a little bit. He ended up 11th after starting 22nd. I expected more out of Sheldon Hodenshield, so I'm not sure if they're – going to go to work on that race car and get a better next two nights than what we've seen out of the previous two nights, but I'd like to see Sheldon run a little bit better.
Is this
here
Pat?
The rest of the weekend.
All right, let's go to the phones and let's bring on Pat. He's calling in on the show. Pat, we always appreciate you giving us a call. How you doing today?
Doing good, man. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. Good? Yeah, we're doing good.
Awesome. Hey, I just want to comment, Brent Marks is just been impressive all year.
Isn't that his 12th win last night? Wasn't that his 12th win?
Yeah, I can't remember.
I think it was, and I think he's a leading money winner in the country also.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, he dominated Pennsylvania Sprint Weeks and outran Kyle Larson there one night. I think that was at Lincoln Speedway or one track. I can't remember exactly, but he just dominated that whole week. Then he comes to Eldora Speedway. And he had already won like three outlaw races earlier this year on big racetracks. So we shouldn't be surprised that he would come to Eldora Speedway and have a great run.
No, I agree wholeheartedly. I've been nothing but impressed with him all year. And if I'm not at a race, I'm watching a race. And I tell you what, man, the guy just is impressive, just very impressive.
Yeah, you know, Anthony Macri, Brent Marks, who are some of the other guys that have won a lot?
Dietrich,
right? Yeah, yeah. He's won his.
Macri hasn't had a very good time at Eldora so far this week.
He hasn't looked very good. No, that's
no,
for sure. Yeah.
No, I still be interested to know what's all going on there with that team that, you know, the crew chief left and a bunch of other stuff, but whatever.
Let me ask you a question, Pat. Were you disappointed to see Kyle Larson get that flat at the start of the race? Were you let down by that? He did rally back. Well, he started third. He had to go to the back of the field. He worked his way back up to ninth. But were you disappointed when you saw that he didn't look like he was going to have a chance to win?
I hated to see it because I hate seeing stuff like that happen. You know, stuff that's completely out of driver's hands.
No
doubt. Him and Craig Kenser both had the tough luck there. But it was kind of, I don't think we're talking about Brent Marks. We're probably just talking about Brent Marks making a great run and finishing second or third then if Kyle doesn't have this happen. Because to me, like, Kyle was just getting ready to eat Courtney right up and go and hide.
Did they ever find anything on the racetrack? Because they were kind of insinuating that they thought there might be something out on the racetrack that cut those tires down. Did they ever find anything?
I saw on Twitter that they mentioned that they might have been motor parts from Lynch's motor when that thing grenaded.
Oh, gotcha.
Boy, tough luck for him.
All the same time.
Cy Lynch got the pole in that race and then had that bad stuff happen to him. Went from great to worse.
Too bad for a local team.
Yeah, when he blew up, that thing really blew up, though, didn't it? That thing was on fire. Yeah.
Yeah, they showed a picture of the motor. You could almost stick your head in the hole.
Oh,
it
no
was that big. I mean, it was really bad.
Hey, Pat.
Really bad.
I know you've told me where you're calling from. Can you tell me again where you're calling from?
Calling from Sioux City, Iowa.
Sioux City, Iowa.
And yep. And go to Houston all the time. Headed to Jackson tonight.
Yeah.
And they got a 360 show. Then tomorrow night I'll probably just sit at home and watch the races on TV. Then head to Houston on Sunday. We got Hall of Fame night.
Yeah.
Were you up there for the USAC races over the weekend, Pat?
I went Friday and Sunday. Friday and Sunday.
Gotcha.
I was not able to make it Saturday. A great event. I'm perplexed at why people aren't showing up for it.
Right.
I don't get it because the racing's fantastic. It really truly was. I know there's issues to work out in the midget class yet, but the racing was awesome. I agree with Robert. There's too much track prep. The track was way too fast on Sunday night. It kind of felt like we didn't see a very good feature for the sprint cars, but the show Friday night was incredible.
Yeah.
And everyone said the show Saturday night was even better than Friday night. So I really question why people weren't showing up.
Wow. They show up. I mean, they pack them in for the wing stuff, right, up there?
They do. They have really good crowds on regular nights and everything. I just don't – one person told me, he goes, I'm not a big a fan as like what you are, he said, but he goes, I don't know who to root for. And I kind of found that surprising that he would say that.
Do you think that's because they don't run enough non-wing or midget stuff up there that much? Do you think that's the problem?
100%.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, 100%. You're right. I thought from an entertainment value, it was great up there, the non-wing stuff. So.
Yep. Yep. The biggest thing is, us fans that follow this stuff religiously, we know these guys. We know who to root for and who's the young guy or who's the guy we all found somebody. But the casual fan sits there and goes, I don't know who to root for.
Right.
And I think that hurts. I do think that hurts.
Yeah. Well, it was kind of funny because I think on Saturday night they had a pretty good crowd there. Or was it Sunday?
Yep. Sunday wasn't terrible, but it wasn't a regular night even. I mean, the crowd wasn't even like a regular like what it'll be this weekend on Sunday night.
That's crazy for that. I mean, these guys are they're characters. I mean, you talk about Robert Ballou and Brady Bacon and Justin Grant. I mean, I find it hard to believe that you can't find somebody to root for out of that crowd.
Do they run? Let me ask you a question, Pat. When you're up there in that area, do they run television commercials for those events when they have those big events up there at Husetts? Do they run television commercials?
I hate to say this. I don't watch regular TV.
Oh, I
watch satellite, so I have no idea.
Gotcha.
I have no idea. But I'll say this. Every time you went to Husetts, they had the big billboards up about USAC, the USAC show. I mean, they were doing the stuff there at the track. I mean, there's people that I talk to every week that weren't there.
That's nuts.
You know, in the pits. You know, I go to the pits all the time. And I was like, man, where are you guys at? Because my hat's off to Matt Wood and to Todd and Doug and the crew. Man, they're really doing a lot of good things for us, and I was really hoping for a big crowd for them. You know,
do you think that race will come back next year?
From what I heard, it is.
Good.
Well, if you're a regular fan of Husetts, why wouldn't you go to that?
Right.
I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
I don't get it either because there was so much hype around it. You know, after last year, and you know, people were talking about, oh, I can't wait to see him, can't wait to see him, and then they weren't there.
Right.
And just it's puzzling.
Yeah, no doubt.
Puzzling, but.
All right, Pat. Well, we appreciate you always calling in on the show, man. Thanks again for doing so. We appreciate you.
You bet. You guys take care. Thank you.
All right. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I'm as mystified at
why people wouldn't show up.
Why
up
people
there?
Wouldn't show if you're a regular fan of Houston Speedway, and we all love wing sprint cars,
Kurt,
but we love open wheel cars. Kinda, why wouldn't you show up for this event?
It's kind of like the discussion you and I had last night. I think the track promoters just assume that the race fans know that there's going to be a big event at I-70 Speedway last night, right? But did you see one television ad during the entire week leading up to that event?
I didn't. I wasn't looking in the right spots, but I didn't see it. But I'm not saying – I don't know what kind of promotions they did up at Husetts or in the local Sioux Falls market or wherever. But, man, you know, to me, and you and I watch this stuff all the time, the USAC stars, they're, to us, as big as stars of any other series.
Right.
So, I mean, these guys, we see them at the Chili Bowl every year. I mean, for people – that are regular fans of Houston Speedway on Sunday night races, why you wouldn't come to an event like this. It's once a year. I don't know.
Austin, do we need to run more television ads for some of these major events that we have here in the Kansas City area? Do we need to run more TV ads, you think?
I mean, I would do TV, social media.
Right.
Around town. I mean, it's like you said, I mean, It's been gone. If you're talking about I-70, it's been gone for so long. People just forget about it, and the people that aren't in the loop. But yeah, I mean, just look at even social media. Look what social media has done for racing.
Do you think some of the fans that used to go to I-70 think it's still closed?
The ones that are out of the loop and out of social media, yes.
Yeah. What do you think, Kurt?
Well, I think so, and you see a lot of older people,
gray hairs.
Yeah, and you don't see enough new young people coming in. There's enough young people that are Austin's age or a little bit older that hardly remember that I-70 Speedway was even open. I mean, the pavement track closed down. When was that? 2008.
Seven.
2007.
I think it was seven.
And it was 08.
It was 8.
At the end of 2008.
2008. So we're 14 years removed from when the old racetrack was in existence, and now we're getting into kids growing up at, you know, their upper teens and early 20s that don't even remember the old I-70 speedway.
Kids don't really care. Listen, the drivers, the young drivers, they love racing these cars, right? But kids in today's generation don't really care about racing anymore. Does anybody disagree with me?
Well, it's just not the same as it was. Drawing kids out to the racetracks. There's a lot of different things for them to do now.
Austin, you're a kid. I hate to say it, but you're still a young 19-year-old kid. What do we need to do to get kids involved in motorsports? Get them back to the racetrack. Do you got any ideas?
I'm not. I mean, what's every kid have in their hand right now?
A phone.
Yeah. You know, I would try and maybe, you know, work a way to get your exposure onto their phone, onto their platforms. I mean, everybody's on we're just gonna say TikTok now.
Right.
I spend almost, you know, 4 hours of my day on that app throughout the day. If you look at my statistics for the week, just do a little promoting and stuff on there, and I mean, there's.
But you've got to get the kids locked into the racing scene,
right?
Before they start paying attention to it, you've got to get their attention some way over there to the motorsports side of things. I don't know how you do that. How do you get the kids involved in motorsports?
I think Austin brings up a good point. The days of putting flyers up on telephone poles and even advertising on TV, a lot of people don't watch regular TV anymore.
TV.
So you got to go to where the young people are at now, and it's on Instagram or TikTok, or you got to promote on those places now to create a buzz to get the younger people to the racetrack.
What we need you to do, we need you to go over there and like our TikTok page so we can get over there and start streaming our events on TikTok. But you have to have 1,000 members or 1,000 followers in order to start streaming live. And we're way short of that, aren't we, Austin? We need to get a bunch of people over there.
But I think you're right, Austin. We got to go to where the younger people are at right now.
Yeah, and I mean, there's...
Where is that?
TikTok, so some of the social networks that kids use now. It's not Facebook. Facebook, no.
That's for old people.
That's for old people. So I think that's where we're at right now. You got to go and promote where the kids are watching, and it's not regular TV.
Let me say this about Facebook. As long as Facebook's been around, it's still pretty popular, though.
Yeah.
I mean, you use it with your social media, don't you, Austin? You use it quite a bit.
I use all the big social media
all the platforms,
apps.
Yeah.
I mean, but, you have to.
But Facebook's kind of hung in there a little bit longer than some of the others, right? We've seen some come and go, right? I think Facebook's done pretty good hanging on. What do you, is it just for old people, Austin? Facebook nowadays? Do your friends get on Facebook much?
No, I think I'm the only one. Like, my friends that are outside of motorsports and, like, trying to do marketing stuff, they aren't on it. It doesn't associate with them. But, I mean, I'm on it just because of all the people that are, you know, a part of my team. All their businesses are on that platform.
Right.
So it's an easy way to just, you know, share their stuff and grow a following with it.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, if I didn't need it for what I was doing, I don't know if I'd be on it.
Right. All right, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about this Kyle Larson, Brad Sweet thing that's going on with this series. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Today's Mostly Motorsports is brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
39 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill. Kirk Elliott sitting in today. It's Phone Friday. If you'd like to give us a call, 816-833-8553. 816-833-8553. I want to remind everybody about the track tribute that's going on up at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum right now. It's a track tribute to Ascot Park that was in Gardena, California. It's a great, great track. So many memories. I went to that racetrack back in the early 80s. It's such a great, great racetrack. It had so much history. Up at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum right now, they've got videos, driver uniforms, helmets, memorabilia. They've also got 7, 8, 9 cars that raced at Ascot Park. Again, this racetrack was in Gardena, California. It was really close to where I lived. I lived in Redondo Beach, and I used to go over to Ascot Park back in the day in the early 80s, the late 70s. It was such a great venue, man. It's just, if you want to learn a lot about the history of motorsports, you need to get up to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum and check out this great tribute they have to Ascot Park. Also, I want to remind everybody that the drawing for the 2022 IMSA GTLM Championship Edition C8R Corvette will be drawn on Saturday, August 13th, during the Knoxville Nationals. If you can't get up there and buy one of these raffle tickets in person, and again, folks, this car is so expensive. If you get your hands on this car, you're going to make a lot of money. If you choose to sell it or do whatever you want with it, I'm telling you right now, I've seen this car go for sale for $150,000 online. And at the Barrett Jackson auction, it sold for $300,000. So this car is worth a lot of money. Again, it's only one of 1,000. It's a limited production Corvette. And you can win it if you buy a raffle ticket. And again, they're going to do that drawing on August 13th during the Knoxville Nationals up there. It's such a great, great car. Man, what would you rather have, Kirk, the 410 Sprint car, or would you rather have the Corvette?
Corvette.
Me too.
But that's just me.
I'm too old to drive a sprint car.
I can't drive a sprint car. So.
And we want to remind everybody that the sprint car raffle is going on as well. They've got the 2022 Triple X chassis. It's a complete 410 race car. It's a race-ready race car that you can buy these raffle tickets, and you have a chance to win this sprint car. It's a great deal. They're going to give it away on December 16th. And if you can't make it up, again, to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, and I hope you can, because they're open 7 days a week, folks. They're open every day of the week, so there's no excuse really to go up there. If you're going to Knoxville and you're going to watch some races, you've got to go over to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. Buy your raffle ticket for the 2022 Triple X chassis. It's a complete 410 race car. Or buy a raffle ticket for the Corvette. And if you do, if you run into Bob Baker up there, make sure you tell him the Racing Boys sent you up there.
Boy, I'd love to be up there tonight. If it were just a couple of hours closer to home,
Martina McBride,
I could get up there
tonight
and back. I'm a huge Martina McBride fan. She's in concert at the Marion County Fair.
All right.
And the infield, I think they set up stage in the infield up there tonight. So.
Right. All right. Let's kick around a little bit. We'll do a little bit of this tomorrow on Track Talk. Again, Track Talk tomorrow, 8 o'clock Central Time. You can watch Kirk and I with Austin. Austin, will you be here tomorrow?
Maybe.
Maybe. If he's not up too late. Todd will be here. Anyway, what do you guys think about this new Sprint Car Series? They're going to have 10 races that pay $23,000 to win. They're going to have two races that pay $50,000. Is that right? $50,000 win two races, $50,000. That's right. The purse for the $23,000 to win races is $80,000, and the purse for the $50,000 to win races are $120,000. That's a lot of money they're putting on the line there.
Now, did they say where they're going to stage? I see Lincoln Park Speedway at Putnamville is one of the tracks.
Right.
What are some of the other tracks they're going to stage these events?
They have not announced any other tracks.
Yes, it's not announced yet. So Putnamville is just a kickoff race this August to kind of get the hype up for next year.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's a lot of money. I feel the same way about these events. I was to earlier in the week up at Stewart, that XR series. I'm looking at the crowd and I'm looking at the gate revenue and the video, and I'm trying to do the math on all this thing. I guess streaming, the revenue off the streaming's got to be a big part of it. But these entities are throwing a lot of money out there.
Kirk, we've streamed a lot of races in our day.
Yeah.
You think they really can make that much money?
No, I don't. But I don't know that because I don't know what Flow Racing's got a lot of resources.
Oh, they do.
And they got a lot of money. So,
well, and not only that, they've got a lot of corporate America that's behind them. All you got to do is watch their broadcast and you see all the commercials they run. They're pulling it. You know, we sit here and we think about the subscribers that subscribe to Flow and how much money that brings in. But we don't ever talk about the amount of money from the advertisers that run their commercials on their
platform. That's a lot.
Yeah.
And Flow Racing draws a lot of revenue from advertisers.
Yeah.
So, and we don't know what those numbers are. I know it's a lot more than what we were able to generate in this business, that's for sure.
Right.
But you got to do, for these entities to throw out that kind of money, and I'm talking in terms of the XR series, late model series, and this, that the revenue off the video streaming is a big part of it, not just the gate revenue.
Kirk, we did the largest pay-per-view in dirt track racing for a good part of time. Do you really think they're making that kind of money?
I find it hard to imagine that they are, but who knows? I don't know. You know, Flow Racing's bigger than just racing.
They're so much bigger than racing.
Oh, yeah, the subscription base, and I have no idea what their subscription base is, but it has to be very significant amount of monthly and annual subscribers to make that work.
You get 2,300 races for $150.
Yeah.
It's the best deal in all of motorsports.
For the race fan, you can't ask for a better
value. You can watch something every night on Flow.
Right, exactly, and you get your money's worth out of that. But how many subscribers does Flow have? I have no idea, but it's got to be a lot.
Let me ask Austin. Does this, Austin, make you want to get a 410?
It makes everybody that doesn't have a 410 want to buy a 410.
Right.
I mean, not just this one series. It's all the other series that have come to in the last year. We have a PowerEye 410 Wing Series. We have Kyle Larson Series. And we have a lot more. Now we're starting to get more payout in the 410 Series.
Don't you think that 410 racing is making a comeback right now?
Yeah, this will help it even further.
Yeah.
We've talked about the trend of 410 racing on the uptick even before this announcement. Now imagine what this will do to the already growing trend of 410 racing. Is going to be enormous.
Austin, does it make sense for a guy like yourself to buy a 410? There's not a lot of 410 racing around here, right?
There's starting to become more 410 racing.
There is.
Like I said, there's MOA. You have the PowerEye 410 Wing Series. You have the All-Stars and the Outlaws when they come to town, Knoxville. And then you kind of head more north to Houston and Jackson.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, it's like any other sprint car series. You got to travel, from Kansas City 3 to 4 hours to go to a race. But, I mean, the spread of tracks and series, in the Midwest are starting to grow.
Right. Pete, he's always putting up little articles from stories here, and he's got one up about Kyle Larson not wanting to run the Chili Bowl because it doesn't pay enough.
Oh, my. Oh, where do I begin on that?
Is it really about the pay? Isn't it more about the driller?
You know, that disappoints me to see Kyle Larson, who...
Throw Emmett under the bus.
Well, he called this race, the one race he always wanted to win in his career, and he goes and wins the NASCAR Cup Series Championship, and they're making pretty good cash with Rick Hendrick Racing on the Cup Series, and for him to come out and say that he's not going to run the Chili Bowl until they get the purse money up. I am very disappointed in Kyle Larson for him to come out and put that kind of threat out there.
Let me ask you both this question. Do you think that's going to deter people from wanting to run the Chili Bowl? Do you think that's going to make people like Christopher Bell or some of these other high-profile drivers not want to run the Chili Bowl? Do you think that's going to happen? Austin, I'll let you go first.
Maybe. It's just your average midget racer,
no, because
they want to win the Chili Bowl.
Right.
But like a Larson or a Bell or even your big names, they understand what it means to win the Chili Bowl. They understand how big it is for midget racing, and they believe that race deserves to pay more.
Right.
Just imagine what $25,000, $50,000 to the winner would do for midget racing and the Chili Bowl itself. I mean, everybody knows Chili Bowl, right?
Right.
And all types of racing. they would know it even more, and the hype behind it would be through the roof. I mean, the
really?
Roof. The roof. I think the roof would come off the Expo Center. I mean, it's just how would you like to win the Chili Bowl, but also pocket a good chunk of change and be like, all right, I'm the king of Tulsa in January.
Well, the thing about the Chili Bowl is, and we've talked about this before, is it's not about the money. It's about the drilling. This event got huge not because they put a lot of money out. There's a lot of big events, and the historical big one
right.
and the Kings Royal are two events. They're big because of the money they put up.
The
Chili Bowl didn't get big because of the amount of purse money they put up. It
right.
got big because of the event itself.
The driller.
The event is the star of this, and it was big before Kyle Larson was born. It's going to be big after he leaves.
Right.
And the thing of it is, why would they add money to the purse when they've already got more cars that they can put inside the building? They don't need to raise. They haven't needed to raise the purse for this event ever.
Right.
So why would they do it now, or why would they raise the purse now when they already have 300-plus entries and they've added days to the event? It goes all week. They can barely put in all the entries inside the building the way it is. Why would they raise the purse?
And they've added a day to the show already.
Right.
Right? Which is hard on everybody.
Yeah. So there's no reason to raise the purse. And also, I don't think a lot of people understand the amount of money that it costs to stage this event and the investment that you got to put in every year to put the track in, rent the building. They don't get the concessions off this, by the way.
And they got to clean the building when it's done, too.
Yeah. The amount of money to stage this event is enormous. And I don't think a lot of people take into consideration that. But beyond that, to put Emmett Hahn and his family in this kind of a position.
Trying to back him.
And trying to.
Emmett said, I'm not going to be backed into a corner.
Right.
Didn't he?
And I don't blame him for feeling that
right.
way. He said, I'm available. Nobody's tried to call me. Nobody's tried to pick up the phone and call me about this.
And offered up some money.
Or at least talk about it.
Right.
But then instead they go to the media about this.
Right.
And if I'm Emmett, I'd
be a little ticked off about it.
I would be furious too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's. Here's the bottom line. The Chili Bowl, the event is the star. And if Kyle Larson doesn't want to run this event next year, we'll miss him. But the event will go on, and there'll be huge crowds that will show up.
There'll be 300 cars there.
Right.
Right.
So if he it's a free country. If Kyle Larson wants to go run late models that week, God bless him.
Right.
He's got every right to do so. But I.
Will that keep fans from coming?
No.
The Kyle Larson fans, but the other thousand of fans that are Chili Bowl fans won't.
Isn't the Chili Bowl more about a social gathering than fans?
It's a party.
Right. It's a party
that has a race break out in the middle of it.
It's the event, and the Kyle Larson fans that won't show up that maybe had seats. Those seats will be filled by those who never have a seat when they buy a ticket to get in. They'll slide into those seats that were once occupied.
It's one of the hardest tickets in motorsports
exactly.
to get, right?
So the place is going to be packed, whether
regardless.
Kyle Larson is there or not.
Right.
Or Christopher Bell or any other driver.
I'm not going to disagree with one thing you said there, Kurt.
But I'm disappointed in Kyle Larson because I like Kyle Larson. I've been a big fan of his. But
right.
come out with this, that just turns me off. I'm sorry. It rubs me the wrong way.
It rubs me a little bit. Raw too, to be honest with you. Austin, I know that you think that they should raise the purse. I get where you're coming from. But at the same time, it's the Chili Bowl. And first of all, where's that money going to come from?
Has anybody ever asked Emmett to pull it out of his pocket? I'm not sure if people that have asked for, you know, the purse to go up, maybe I'm wrong, but I've never heard one person call Emmett and make it pull that money out of his pocket. I mean, you've said it yesterday. There's plenty of companies we could go to and try and get sponsorship to raise the purse.
But here's the issue with that. When you get a company that comes on board, you're going to need to sign them to a long-term deal. because you can't just raise the purse to $25,000 or $50,000, whatever you want it to be, right? You can't raise that purse, and then when it comes time when that sponsor's agreement is over with, that you expect Emmett to cover that amount of money.
Right.
It would be hard to digress back to the $10,000 once the sponsor would pull out from that.
And it's still the highest, one of the highest paying races, all of midget car racing, is it not? And the bottom line is he's never had a reason to raise the purse. He's got more entries than he can handle now. The raising the purse has never been a big thing.
Let me ask you this, Kurt.
Think about
do you think people think that Emmett's got a money grab going on there?
I think a lot of people think that, but they also don't understand, like you and I do, the expense that's involved of putting this event on.
Kirk, you and I are privileged because we've been in the internal parts of the Chili Bowl because of our live pay-per-view that we did there for years. We have an idea.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, folks, if you think that Emmett is getting rich, filthy rich off of this, you have no idea. Is he making some money? Absolutely.
And well-deserved, because the amount of work and investment that it takes to put this event on, he's got to put up a large amount of money just to make this work. So there's a high amount of risk involved. There was at the beginning when this thing started.
When he started
it. But it still is, because he doesn't own the building.
Right. He doesn't get the concessions. He doesn't own the building. He's got to pay for the cleanup. He's got to take down the cost of putting in the racetrack. Just think about that a little bit.
I don't know how much that is, but it's got to be at least $1 million, would you say?
I don't know what it is.
I have no idea.
I have no idea what it is. But let me tell you, you add up all those expenses. Oh, and oh, by the way, just think about how many employees they have to run the expo down there for that event.
A lot.
You wouldn't even believe how much money they have to spend on labor for that event.
Yes. I mean, an extra crew comes in to tear the place down so they can get it cleaned up for the next event.
And they got to do it by the next morning.
That sometimes they do, yeah.
Right? Kirk, we've pulled out of there, and we started tearing down our pay-per-view equipment, and the crews are tearing down the grandstands.
Right.
Right? They're ripping up the racetrack. They're taking the fence down right when the race is over.
Yes, and it's a separate crew, labor. I mean, this is not like Eldora Speedway this weekend where the track's there all the time. I mean, you don't have to tear the whole track down and rebuild it every year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's I'm just disappointed that Kyle Larson has
approached it this way.
Has approached it in this manner.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, these guys are big stars. And I think you could argue that Kyle Larson became a big star before he went to NASCAR because
of the Chili Bowl.
Events like the Chili Bowl.
Right.
Same with Christopher Bell.
Right.
So
he ought to be thankful.
Yeah. So I read that article yesterday, and I was just, and I'm glad they at least contacted Emmett Hahn for his response to it.
Right.
So with that was good. So,
but if you know anything about Emmett, he's not going to be backed into a corner.
No, and he said that. I'm not going to be backed into a corner.
He says if Kyle wants to go down and run that late model race down in New Mexico,
fine.
Go right ahead. They've been running that Chili Bowl before he was born.
Exactly.
Right?
And it was a big event then.
And we're not – listen – we're not haters on Kyle Larson.
No, I like that. That's why I'm so disappointed, because I'm a Kyle Larson fan.
Yeah.
So, and it comes in the week that this news about this new sprint car series is coming about, and I get all that. He's trying to support the young drivers coming up and trying to get the drivers to get more money for big events. But I just disagree with the way he went about this.
Yeah.
As far as the Chili Bowl.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
Any final thoughts there, Austin, after Kirk went on that rant?
Well, I mean, how is it – I mean, he probably could have said it differently, but how is it different than any other racer deciding they don't want to go to this event because it doesn't pay well?
Fine. They got every right to go to any event they want.
I make that decision every week, and I'm not going to go here because it doesn't pay good.
And that's great.
So, I mean
– that's your choice.
That's your choice, and I have no problem with that. Racers are free to go to any event they want to go to.
And first of all, 350 cars is too many anyway.
Well, it's more than – that's the big reason. Why would you raise the purse when you've got already more cars that you can get inside the building?
Right.
And you've added days to the event. And why would you even think about raising the purse under those circumstances?
We just need to get it wouldn't be easy for teams, but I mean you could free up so many stalls if you just got rid of the trailers in there, right? I mean, you don't want to park.
That's easier said than done.
Yeah, that's.
I mean, you don't want to park them outside in the middle of January, but I mean, look at Keith Kuntz. He has 3 53-foot trailers in there. I mean, you could put at least 10 cars in where those two trailers sit.
Right,
but you don't need any more cars. You're going from Monday through Saturday the way it is.
We've already hit the maximum amount of cars. We don't need any more cars.
Now, Ammon Hahn is not going to want to turn anybody away. He doesn't cut off entries or people want to get inside the building to watch the race. He's never turned anybody away,
right.
And never wants to.
Right.
So
just like selling pit passes.
Yeah,
he keeps selling them.
As long as somebody walks up to the window and wants to buy one, we'll figure out a way to get you in the building.
Right. All right. Well, there you have it, folks. Another Mostly Motorsports in the books today. Don't forget, tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock Central Time, Kirk and I will be on Track Talk. We've been doing that show for 22 years on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Starts at 8 o'clock Central Time. You can join us, and I'm sure we'll have more to talk about on this topic as well. Tomorrow, there's so many things going on. We'll talk about the Lucas Oil ASES National Sprint Car Tour race. Maybe we'll even get the winner on from tonight, tomorrow. So we hope that you'll join us tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock Central Time, Track Talk with the Racing Boys, Kirk, myself, maybe Austin O'Neill, but Todd Surprise will be here for sure. So we hope that we'll see you tomorrow morning. Don't forget, we're here every day, Monday through Friday, 12 noon Central Time. We hope that you'll join us. For Austin O'Neill, for Kirk Elliott, I'm Scott Traylor saying thanks for joining us. Mostly Motorsports has been brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.